This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, ICANN staff, and welcome everyone to the ICANN Cross Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN's Accountability Subgroup on Human Rights, meeting 2321, depends on the counting, but it definitely is the 21st of February 2017, and it is 1900 UTC. And here we are all together in the Human Rights Subcall. Our drafting team has been working hard. We've been making quite some progress. We've been making some progress even upon the progress we already made last week. So that means we are still moving forward. That is really nice. But let's first, before we go into the content, go into the administrivia. Is there anyone who is on the audio bridge who is not on the Adobe Connect? Could they please make themselves known? Heard in this case? Because then the ICANN staff can take a roll call from the Adobe Connect room. Thank you very much for that, ICANN staff. I think we saw apologies from Jorge Cancio, and I do not remember if we've seen any others. I don't think so, and I'll have a quick look in a sec at the list, but I don't think so. So only Jorge, which means, as we can see in the Adobe room, we have a full call with active participants. That's great. Does anyone of all the people here have an update to their statement of interest? No, no hands, no comments, no update to the statement of interest. That is great. I do have one incoming message, and therefore, it would be great if Mark Carvel or Jorge Cancio were here, but for Jorge, we have the apologies, and Mark Carvel, I don't see here. But I heard from Mark Carvel and Jorge Cancio that the task they volunteered for, namely reaching out to the UN Working Group on Business and Human Rights, came back to them after a while, and offered their support and advice in our process. So if you all would not mind, I would reach out to the subgroup, to the working group, and invite them to the call, if you all do not mind, so we can all equally interact with the working group and benefit from their advice directly. I hope you are all okay with that, because it was also our joint approach to invite them and look for impact. So now they have been following up. I see a question from Tatiana. Hi, Tatiana. So Tatiana asks, what exactly would be the benefit of this? Are they aware of what we are doing? Are they familiar with ICANN? Yes, so earlier in the process, as you might remember, I think it was the third meeting, we were seeing whether there were other people around that we could benefit from. By then, it was Jorge and Mark who said that the UN Working Group on Business and Human Rights might be able to provide input. Then the group said that it... that it might be useful to have people coming in. Then we had a discussion, yes, but they should not have a special status. Then we all agreed, yes, we would invite them to the subgroup call so they can discuss with us. We could benefit from them, and they could benefit from our expertise. We made the invitation. Now they come back, they would be happy to join us. And actually, they do know things about ICANN. So I was pleasantly surprised to read that. So I'm very curious what will happen, but I propose we invite them, and then we'll see what happens. I do not know when that will be. I just know that they are available, so I'll just extend to them the invitation, and I hope we can do that before Copenhagen. And So I can, I will extend to them that invitation so we can all engage with them. So excellent. Then that point is covered. Then those were notifications. Does anyone else have a suggestion or an update for the agenda? I see no hands, but I see Tatiana is typing. I see nothing. So if not, then I suggest we go ahead with the agenda as it is. So the people who prefer can have a look at the Google Doc. And I would like to ask the always helpful ICANN staff to load the Word documents in Adobe Connect. So the people who prefer Adobe Connect can have a look there at the text that is the next iteration of our work, which is going to be our considerations document, which will be part of our framework of interpretation, which we will merge with the work that we have finished earlier. So at the end of the call, and I would like to bring it a bit to the end, we'll discuss what we will present in Copenhagen, because this is on the agenda tomorrow for the plenary. So we will need to discuss whether we think we will present the FOI that we've already done, or whether we want to present the FOI as well as the version of the considerations document as far as we are in Copenhagen, which I think might make sense. But it would be at the state that the considerations document is then, whether we have consensus on it or not, and even if we do not have consensus on it, we can always present it. This is currently where we are as a discussion document. I would nonetheless discuss that a bit late, like to discuss that a bit later, but first go into our work and go over to our drafting team who has been working hard. Part of the drafting team has been coming together in Iceland and making some great progress there. So I'd like to have the document loaded in Adobe Connect, the Word documents that we had before, and then let's go into the document and see where are the changes from last week. Who from the drafting team can I give the floor, or shall I do a first roundabout, a first overview? Drafting team advice. I see Greg has his hand up. Greg, please come in.
I'm happy to start. I guess we're starting back at the top with this latest draft. And I think that there's no need to read every word, but we'll focus on the changes that have been made or changes that have been accepted. So the first is to consider which specific human rights conventions or other instruments, if any, should be used by ICANN in interpreting and implementing the human rights bylaw. First paragraph, which I think adopts changes that were proposed the last time around, says that ICANN is not a party to declarations conventions, but ICANN could refer to any of the widely adopted human rights conventions and other instruments, which are now all mentioned in a footnote. Also the note that it should be noted that the bylaw was not written with one specific human rights declaration or covenant in mind. The drafting team presented three different proposals here, and that's really the part that I will look at. more carefully here and that we need to discuss as a subgroup. And the first proposal says the subgroup considered whether the UN guiding principles for business and human rights could be applicable in the process of interpreting the bylaw. However, there was not sufficient support to recommend the adoption of the UN guiding principles. This probably actually needs to be above Proposal 1 because this is true of the textual analysis in any case, but we can discuss that as well. This goes on to say the subgroup also considered whether the UN guiding principles for business and human rights could be a useful guide in the process of seeking guidance for the bylaw. And then it said here, however, given both the differences between ICANN and business enterprises, and then it's been added, alleged by some between ICANN and business enterprises, for which the guiding principle is written, and the content of many of the principles, you know, this was either deemed unsuited or no agreement was reached. So this is, in essence, two proposals kind of competing with each other as Proposal 1 and 1A. It could end with, therefore, the subgroup does not recommend or makes no recommendation regarding using the guiding principles, the first one being a more active non-recommendation, the other one just being more of a passive, there is no recommendation here. Proposal number 2 says the UN guiding principles for business human rights could be a useful guide in the process of observing the human rights bylaw, question whether observing is the right verb there. Last is the UN guiding principles for business and human rights should, as opposed to could, should guide the implementation of the human rights bylaw. So really what this is are, you know, essentially four competing proposals, but which all of which are really based on trying to determine where the subgroup as a whole comes out on the question of the RUGI principles when it comes to implementing the human rights bylaw. I really do think we dealt with interpreting in the first part of our work, but that's kind of the where we find ourselves in this particular section. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that overview, Greg. And indeed, a bit of a conflict is now a multiple choice, but without before people coming up with I'm for this, I'm for that, it would be good to quickly see a bit of the background, and I think a background of some of the contention might also be in the question itself, which asks, which kind of convolutes in the interpretation and the implementation of the human rights bylaw. And I think that during the drafting of the framework of interpretation, we've seen and we've discussed to a great extent that the UN guiding principles might not be completely applicable because of the issue regarding chain responsibility and CCTLDs, how that would be hard to translate. But where it could come to implementation, the UN guiding principles might be very relevant because they outline clearly the process of UN guiding principles, of human rights impact assessment, and how that could be followed. So this could be a useful separation or not, but I see there is a queue. So I trust there will be great insights from everyone. So I'm looking forward to our constructive engagement and discussion on this point. Kavus, please come in. Kavus, I did not yet hear you, but I trust we will. Okay, so I see Cahoos has some audio issues. So for the moment, let's go to Matthew and then have Cahoos after Matthew. Matthew, please come in.
Yes, Niels, can you hear me all right?
I hear you swimmingly, Matthew. Great to hear you.
Perfect, thanks. I just wanted actually to reinforce a point that Greg made, which is we just need to be a little bit careful about the way that this is written now with these various proposals or options. I think Greg is correct when he says that the first paragraph that comes under proposal one actually is a factual statement as to where we find ourselves or where, after significant discussion about the RUGI principles. I think the actual proposal one should come above the next paragraph where we start to talk about to what degree they could be used for guidance. So I think that's an important distinction. Also, about your question about the considering, in which you talk about whether or not we have adequately or correctly viewed how the issue of interpreting and implementing. That's been a tricky one, of course, because there's a difference between interpreting and implementing, as we've discussed in the past also. But I think what we've done is certainly considered the interpreting part of which possible human rights conventions or instruments could be interpreted. Used to interpret the human rights bylaw. The implementing, I think we've also addressed, but obviously that's been a little bit more tricky as we've found over the past couple of months. So I think we just have to be a little bit careful about how we read that, but I just wanted to encourage us to look at the three options after the first paragraph, because I think that's a factual statement of where we are at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Can I ask you a follow-up question, because it would be great. So could you take a bit more on the text around adoption, because adoption sounds very strong. I do not think that interpretation and adoption are the same. So if you say that is the description of the facts, then that could be also seen in different ways. Could you iterate a bit on that? And then could you also iterate a bit on the options in the paragraph following that, and how you think we could take that forward?
Well, I think the question mark on the word adoption actually is mine, because I'm not sure that is the right word at all. So I don't know how it's in there, but I'm somewhat uncomfortable with that word, and I'm sure there's something else that we can look at that would be better suited. I think we have to be careful in these options, these proposals. As I think Tatiana said in the chat, you know, there's a possibility that we might be able to do something with the second paragraph or proposal one and proposal two. But even proposal one, there's some uncertainty within those brackets there. So I think we just have to be very careful about how we look at this. I think it would be good to get a general sense from those on the call as to where their sentiment is at the moment, noting that we do have to approach this with some caution because our discussions around the whole issue of RUGI have been somewhat difficult over the past couple of months. Thanks. But I'm sure Tatiana has more to say. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Matthew. Now, before we continue to Tatiana and Greg, let's jump back to Cahoos, because the Cahoos situation might have improved. Cahoos, can we hear you already?
Hello. Do you hear me, please?
Cahoos, we hear you. Please come in.
I don't know why we come back to this sentence and change it again. It was drafted in a cautionary manner that could be used as a guide. Guide is that all. We take a guide or we don't take a guide. You guide me to do something, I accept or I don't accept. But why come back to that? Why some people from some constituency always come back to this issue and push for their initial point? We have discussed this 10 times. 10 times. I don't agree with that. I'm very, very sorry. A strong opposition. This paragraph has always been agreed. we don't come back to that to satisfy one or two people from one constituency. The existing wording, as you take it out, is sufficient. Could be used as a guide. That's all. We could not say the meeting that was not agreed to the adoption. Adoption of what? We don't adopt the human rights principle. We just say whether we could use it or could not use it. And we said that we could use it as a guide. Or we could say we could generally be used as a guide. Full stop. So I'm sorry, please do not come back to everything. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of obligations, commitments. We shall not get back to all of these things all the time. We have only the last part, which was discussions about GNSO, CGNSO, and GAC, and we said that put them one similar paragraph, that's all, but not reviewed again. How many times these distinguished people want to review? Please, kindly guide us. I have a strong opposition to come back to any of these anymore. Thank you.
That's very clear, Kavus. Thank you. And the next in the queue is Tatiana. Tatiana, please come in.
Thank you, Nils. Tatiana Dropina is speaking for the record. Well, first of all, let me firmly disagree with not raising these issues again. Let me go a bit to the history. We knew that three members of the drafting team were in Iceland and were not able to join the call. If we would have been on the call, we would have raised these issues. We didn't have time to draft the document, and Nils was aware of this. We were considering whether we are going to have the call or not. The notion behind having the call was that we have to make a progress. But the significant part of this group, and I believe the significant part of the drafting team, was not on the call. And if the issues were not raised on the last call, and I was actually amazed when I was listening to the call that no one raised the issues. We did redraft this part as well. We did redraft the previous part. And it's not only about RAGI principles. We did redraft and fine-tuned it significantly. I don't believe that we have to put up again the old version because it does suffer from different flaws. So it's not only about RAGI principles. Now, coming back to the RAGI principles, I do believe that, as Matt and Greg said, the first paragraph is a factual statement. The group did not agree whether we shall commit to RAGI principles. I think the adoption is maybe a strong word. Maybe we have to use commitment or implementation of the RAGI principles or following the RAGI principles. But nevertheless, we discussed them over several calls, and we couldn't reach the agreement. Furthermore, I do believe that if we are going for the option two, the group has to come back to this discussion and to consider whether the RAGI principles would be useful guidance for the implementation. Because just writing this as a statement of fact, I just simply cannot accept this. If we are going to consider this, if this is going to be in the final document, we have to discuss, are they useful? Do we agree that they are useful? Maybe we will agree. Who knows? But I want to have the discussion then. I just don't want any statements which are not the reflection of the factual reality and factual discussions. I'm not aware of any discussions how RAGI principles are useful in this sense. So I believe that we can, of course, say that I can, as an organization, can consider in the future to commit to RAGI principles, that if ICANN community in the policymaking decides to follow RAGI principles, they might do so, but we have to be crystal clear that the group didn't reach an agreement on this. Or otherwise, if we want to reach an agreement on recommending this, we have to go through RAGI principles and agree or disagree. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. I'm not sure whether we should go through all the RAGI principles again, but it's a suggestion that we could do. I see Greg coming up. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, again, for the record. I would say that I agree in large part with what Tatiana just said. I think we did not come to an agreement on the use of RAGI principles in implementation, and so, I mean, in the interpretation, And whether we've discussed it fully with regard to implementation or not, I don't think we've finished that discussion. As a matter of fact, I think we're in the middle of it. And in any case, I think that we cannot buy the Ruggie principles wholesale. Are there perhaps some particular aspects of the Ruggie principles that by themselves could be useful guidance? Perhaps. Let's take a look if we want to go down that route. But there are also other parts of the Ruggie principles that I think would be absolutely inapplicable and counter to ICANN's mission. It also goes way beyond the charge of this particular group, this particular subgroup, which is to interpret the bylaw and providing broad implementation advice is what is beyond our scope. This question only asks which conventions or other instruments should be used by ICANN, if any, in interpreting and implementing the human rights bylaw. But, I do not consider the Ruggie principles to be a convention or instrument. They are in themselves a framework of interpretation and implementation. That would be like putting on somebody else's suit at this point, and with regard to how they would want to do that. And I think that this would either need to be finely tailored and reviewed at best, but certainly we cannot buy it off the rack and put it here. There's just no agreement that we are going in that route. I think that's a sufficient statement of my position. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. I see David McCauley's hand is up. David, please go in.
Thank you, Niels. David McCauley here for the transcript. I just wanted to make a comment, too, because I was on the call last week, and I have to admit that for part of the call I was distracted by something where my attention was not on the call, but perhaps it was during a discussion of the Ruggie principles. I would add my voice to those that say that we have to be very careful in how we refer to them. Part of the problem I think we're facing is the final report from the CCWG and Accountability Workstream 1 uses words in Annexes 6 and 12 and the final report itself, like implement, operationalize, and things like that. They're very active verbs, where the bylaw simply says that, ICANN will be guided by these considerations and then uses the language about internationally recognized human rights and language about applicable law. So we're sort of in a bit of a twist because I think of the inartful use of language. Those of us who worked in Workstream 1 will remember just how busy and hurried that was, and so that's understandable. But I think that what we should shoot for in this language is underscoring the concept of might and could. In other words, ICANN is tasked with respecting human rights in the manner that the bylaw sets forth. ICANN, the community, and ICANN, the organization, and they can consider whatever they want. I think that ICANN can consider the Ruggie principles to the extent they're helpful. They're certainly not binding, and they're certainly not, at least in my opinion, they're certainly not binding on ICANN. But in trying to discern what are internationally recognized human rights, I think ICANN has a free hand to consider anything that's relevant. And if we would shape the language in that respect and said we've considered the Ruggie principles, there, I join those who say, boy, those Ruggie principles have limited application to ICANN, especially when it gets to language about remediation and about remediation with respect to business partners, those things that really concerned me when I read the principles. But so I would just like to add my voice to those that say these are simply guides. ICANN will have to operate under the bylaw and will have to stay within the limits of internationally recognized human rights as found in applicable law. Whatever tools they find to help them to stay within those limits would probably be fine with me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. I see Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, please come in.
I'm sorry, a matter of principle. If two or three people are not in a meeting, it is not appropriate to come back and say that they disagree with the remaining people that were at the meeting. It is your fault. You did not attend. That's all. You cannot come and upside down what the other agreed. So that is not the good reason that you were not there. But the reason that even you were there, irrespective of presence, is if you believe that there is a need to refine that, I have no problem. But I don't agree with Tatiana saying that she was not there, therefore she can dominate his views, her views to everybody. That is not correct. So, what I suggest that we still believe that we should say could be used as a guidance when they are applicable. Where applicable. We could add something at the end of the sentence where applicable. So we retain what we have agreed before. Could be used as a guidance, could but not will be, could be used as a guidance in processing so on and so forth, comma at the end, where applicable. Just take note of what David said. But I don't want to come back saying that we have not the agreement to adapt that. We are not adapting anything. We don't have any right to adapt. Who we are to adapt or not adapt. No one has given us this task to adapt anything. The UN principle does not require adaption of the 11 people in this group. The only thing we could say, could we use them or we could not use them? We could say we could use them with caution. With caution. Then we add at the end, where applicable. Could be used as a guide, where applicable. So if you want to leave it, go to the next meeting, no problem. But I totally disagree with the concept of that we were not there, then we disagree with the others who were there. That is not acceptable. That is selfishness. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. And let's see in which direction we can move to merge different positions, because it might seem that that people are disagreeing, but I actually see some words that are coming back that would fit together. And of course, decisions are never made in one meeting. We're only making decisions once we have two readings, and we haven't even had one reading, because we agreed that we would announce readings and that we would even mention them in the subject line. So we are still in the brainstorming session. We have all different space to move, to discuss, to be experimental. So let's stay within that frame of mind, and let's try to remain flexible, and also try to see what we need to decide now, and where we could move. And I think that there might be space, as I think Tatiana and Matt have said, on a combination between proposal one and two, to say that maybe when it comes to interpretation, it might not be completely a one-to-one fit, but on implementation, parts could be useful, and this would need further study, because these are the considerations, and it doesn't say how I should do it. So maybe we can move in that direction. Perhaps we can find some fertile ground there, just as an experimental suggestion. I see Greg's hand is up. Greg, please come in.
Thanks. My hand was actually up to respond to Cavus, which I'll do only briefly, which is that we were all at the ICANN intersessional meeting for the non-contracted party test. So we were working day and night on ICANN matters. This call fell in the middle of the night, and we notified everyone of that fact, not that we were off entertaining ourselves. As Neil already said, we're not at the point where that procedural door can even be touched, much less slammed in our faces for bringing up different thoughts. I will note that some other subgroups and working groups did not have meetings last week due to the intersessional. It's fine to have meetings, but please recognize that can't use a meeting scheduled against another meeting in order to ramp things through. So with that, in terms of getting back to the point itself of where do we go with all of this, I think we have a fairly broad spread here, but again, I come back to any language that basically endorses the RUGI principles as a whole as the guide is not something I think I could agree to. On the other hand, it's not a banned book. It can be referred to by any group that is actually, truly implementing the human rights bylaw, say, looking at how to revise the PDP process in the GNSO. But, again, I don't think we have much of a mandate at this point to advise on documents other than human rights conventions and instruments that might be used. And I think even there we need to agree on their applicability. We've been around that fairly hard on the interpretation side. We can do it again here. We'll see whether there is a different result. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. I see the channel's hand is up. And the channel, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. The channel's Rapina is speaking for the record. The problem with the proposal, too, and I wrote this already on the chat, is that if we are writing this sentence, we really have to mean it. And to mean it, we really have to discuss whether UN guiding principles could be a useful guide. And I believe that once we will start discussing this, we will have to discuss the issues that David raised, for example, about the strong language, about remediation, about all these. And while I believe that, yes, sure, RAGI principles can be a useful guidance, I might adopt RAGI principles in the future. I don't mind. But let's be careful here. Let's be careful in what this group is doing. If we are mentioning RAGI principles, let's be honest about this. Let's first discuss can be the useful guide in process of developing of the human rights by law and implementation and whatever, observing or not. And once this discussion is carried out in this group, I will be fine with any result. We will reach consensus. But just writing this sentence without really looking at the consequences, without really looking at the principles, without listening to concerns which might actually be raised when we are considering this sentence content-wise, I believe we just cannot marry these two options. So if we really want to get this job done, I believe that we cannot avoid this discussion. And again, I'm not against RAGI. I'm for open discussion. Let's go into this. Let's see what David will say about strong language. Let's see what Ari will say supporting RAGI principles. Let's hear our opinions and let's see what we can get out of this. You know what I mean. Thanks.
Indeed. Open discussion and exchange of opinion. That's what we're doing, and I'm still happy that that we're continuing with that. So I see Kahoot is in line. Although I also see Aubrey is in line. That's great to also have more voices. So I would also definitely call on the people that we haven't heard yet to also get in the queue. Kahoot?
Yes. Bylaw said that I can to be guided by internationally recognized agreement, among which is something that we refer to. If it is not applicable to all cases mentioned, it's not applicable to
Kavus? Kavus? I think there is another audio problem with Kavus, so Audrey, could you come in?
Yeah. Do you hear me, please? Hello? Again, disconnected.
No, Kavus, I can hear you quite well. I think you are still connected.
I said that if you cannot apply to all cases, mention that. if it could be applied in certain cases, mention that. It could be applied as a guidance, mention that. But I don't think that we should say that totally is inapplicable, as somebody says. It was discussed many, many, many times, and I know some people were against that from the very beginning. But the issue is that we need to understand each other. We must refer to what is internationally recognized agreement and so on and so forth. What is that? If we can't spell out what are those, leave it general. If we can go to the RAGI principle, make it specific, saying that not applied in all cases, should be applied with courses, and should be taken as a guidance where applicable. But later on, Niels, in future I said that I was not at the meeting, please come back, because I was not there. It is not a good way of working. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Fuke Gavus, and I am back on the call. I see Avery is in the line. Avery, please come in. Others hearing Avery, or is it just me? So Avery typed that Avery's point was that it is premature to worry about the details of RAGI. It is a guide for those doing commerce. Anyone using it will have to take into account all the restraints of the bylaws and not use it inappropriately. To do that up front seems premature. So Avi said that there is that there are enough fences and boundaries around the mission, the core values, and weighing them that we ourselves so carefully constructed that within that RAGI could be useful. So I think Avery is very close to proposal 2 that I see in the Google Doc. She also strongly supports. So it seems, and maybe we can park the discussion there, that we will need to see how we can see that for the interpretation, the full RAGI principles, we thought that it, the full RAGI principle might not all be useful and we or applicable, or and that the UN guiding principle could be useful in the process of observing the bylaw or in implementing the bylaw, but that might be something that the drafting team could work on coming week. That might be something that we could discuss next week, because I'm not sure if we would make much progress here if we keep on discussing this in the coming 15 minutes. I see Tatiana is unhappy with this. And Greg and Tatiana want to discuss whether they could be useful. Greg and Tatiana, are you saying that you want to hear from people whether they are useful or not? Or how would you like to go through all of them? Because we went through them and I think we saw that some were useful and applicable, and that some were problematic, right? So do we want to repeat that exercise? I see many people are typing, and being the one not typing but talking also always makes one feel a bit the odd one out. But, oh, I see a queue is forming, so that is a great... I see Kavus has ended up. Kavus, please come in.
Yes, why not we say that it could be used as a guide or guidance on or in certain circumstances or under certain circumstances. It is not totally rejected. And you say could, and you say guide, and it says under certain circumstances or under certain cases or according to the case. So we give these three qualifiers to the text. But saying not applicable, we come back to square one. We disagree with that. We have discussed that many, many, many hours, and we need to retain what we have discussed. Thank you. If you want to give it a working group, give it a working group, but not to come and invent something that satisfies these three people. These three people limitations are for just three people. That's all. They agree. And it is up to us to say yes or no. They should not impose what they think. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. And this is now becoming a bit of a tradition that at, towards the end of the call, Cavus is coming with language suggestions that is that are then helping us completely through the way. This is great, Cavus. Maybe you should consider joining the drafting team. That's really great. I see Greg has his hand up. Greg, please come in.
Thanks, Greg Shatton again. Following the logic of my earlier intervention, none of which are intended to impose anything, but merely to express my view, I don't think we can buy or recommend the Ruggie principles wholesale. I think we certainly... It's not just certain circumstances, it's certain principles, that, you know, certain principles may be useful, in the process. And I think that, you know, we should not just give the positive side of the coin, but also, the negative and not leave it to implication, that there are certain Ruggie principles that would not be applicable or should not be applicable. Or on which there's no agreement that they could be applicable, and also certain circumstances where the remaining principles would not be applicable. So I think the point is it's really a decision for another time as to whether they could, which could be useful, which could be appropriate under which circumstances. So I think we end up kind of surrounding them. So I think as long as we don't rule them out, they can be looked at down the road. I don't think we should go into deep detail one by one again and try to provide a guide to the Ruggie principle. That we should not do. But I think we should basically indicate that it's, you know, up to others to decide when, which, and whether they could be useful, and also that there are times when they would not be useful or appropriate, and certain that would not be appropriate under any circumstances. Thanks.
Correct. What you just said there, I think if we could capture that in language and then use that as a replacement for one and two, I think then we would be there. I think that was a very nice spirit that captured a lot, because we might say, this does not apply, this does apply, we need to look at it, there might be some issues, so let's see how we can, let's see how we can do that, because that sounded like, definitely like music to my ears, and also different than anything we had thus far. So maybe this is something that you could already draft something in the Google Doc or use something that we can play with. And I see Cavus, hand is up. Cavus, come in.
Yes, I tend to agree with the last statement of Greg. We could say that certain principles could be use as a guidance according to the circumstances that we discuss. We do not give a lump sum black check to guiding principle that a certain principle could be applied as a guidance according to the circumstances. Very general, very high level, and that is that. And I leave it to the ICANN to see which principle could be applied in what circumstances. That is sufficiently broad to implement that. I put it in a positive way. Instead of saying that certain principle would not apply, I should say certain principle could be applied as a guidance in certain cases and or under certain circumstances. Thank you.
People, this always makes me happy in the multi-stakeholder process if we see that that we come up with real solutions for real problems that have not been worked on before. This is really great. Nonetheless, I would, in the last 10 minutes of the call, try to move to a bit other parts of the text, because some other suggestions have been made. So we can at least have them hold an to hold, so that we can all have a look at them, and then we can work on them the coming weekend and discuss them in the call. And of course, as always, before we put them anywhere else, we first discuss them among each other before we share them anywhere else, and we only bring them formally out after we've done two readings and we reach consensus on this together. So for now, after this progress, I'd like to ask Greg, or maybe I could I'll ask Greg if he's okay with the other member of the drafting team to quickly take us through the changes through the next part, because we moved some things and we removed some things. Could you take us through that? Or if you don't, I can also do that.
I'm going to nominate Tatiana to do that one. I could.
Tatiana, please come in.
Oh, well, Greg wants me to torture you all with my voice again. So, for the policies, frameworks, if any, that ICANN needs to develop or enhance in order to fulfill its commitment to respect human rights, we propose that to put the human rights by law into practice, you can notice that we do not use the word operationalize, which was used before, so we changed to put the by law into practice. ICANN, the community and the organization will need to consider how to reflect this core value in its policy and operation process. I think this is quite clear. So they will have to consider how to basically use it in those processes. So what we suggest is that each ASO and AC should take the core value into consideration in its policy development or advisory role. I think we had this discussion on the mailing list, and I believe that Anne and someone else was supporting this point of view, and I think that this is quite obvious, because the by law, the core value will have consequences for the whole community and for ICANN organization and for the ICANN board. So we decided that it is up to each SO and AC and ICANN, the organization, if as applicable, to develop their own policies and frameworks to fulfill this commitment. So from our position as a subgroup, we are just interpreting the bylaw. We cannot tell them exactly what they have to do or are going to do with their policy processes. They have to apply this core value. They have to obey this bylaw, they have to put it into practice on their own. And then we concluded that in doing so, the SOs and ACs, as well as ICANN, the organization, should also take into account the requirement to balance core values, which is already in our textual interpretation and which is already in the bylaw, so there is nothing new here. We just want to make this text aligning with what we said before in the textual interpretation. Thanks. I hope that was clear.
that too was super clear, Tatjana, and I think this also hints to a point that comes a bit lower, that says that that we remove the part thus far of setting up a cross-community working group, because all the different SOs and ACs are so different from each other, so all the groups need to consider by themselves how they are going to live up to this to this work. We are 4 minutes before the whole hour, so we will have very little time to finish. I hope that people will have the chance to have a look at the document and also comment a bit on the list. We are going to meet each other all tomorrow in the plenary. I hope you all do not mind that I proposed in Copenhagen, we proposed FOI as it has been on the list, and present then the current work on the considerations document on when we are then. But unless we have we will have had two agreed readings upon then, which I think is completely impossible, we say this is a work in progress document, we're still working hard on it, but we're making constructive progress, and we think we will be done well within the guideline. So I propose we tell that to the plenary tomorrow, and then in the last 3 minutes that we have left, I want to give the floor to the hands, the queue that's there, and that's Cavus. Cavus, please come in.
I did not understand what Tatjana said. Which part of the document is the first? So I suggest that the whole document is in a square bracket and subject to further discussion. And our submission to CCWG is that we have finished, people brought back the issues, we rediscussed that because of Annex 12, and now we are in the full-fledged discussion, and we have not had any agreement yet on any part of this document. I have no problem with that. Thank you.
That's great. There are no problems with this. This week, again, we made progress, and I would like to underline, we're now a bit of joking about that it's a work in progress in the chat, but sometimes we disagree with each other, but I think today on the call we saw again that every call, and I think this is really quite special, we make progress and we manage to get through conflicts or disagreements we have, and we come at a new dialectical position. And I'm very happy we were able to do that. And I really hope we can continue to do that coming week and discuss our upcoming work in next week's call. I hope we can work with the drafting team again, and thank you again, drafting team. Thank you again, ICANNstaff, and thank you, everyone, for participating in the discussions, in the call, and on the list. See you all next week, all. Bye.